Chapter 10, Creating a Master and Slave Relationship. Before we begin, here is a quote for you to reflect upon. Most welcome, bondage, for thou art a way, I think, to liberty. William Shakespeare. Negotiating your relationship. As with any successful relationship, you need to understand the expectations of everyone involved. This is especially important in the case of a relationship that will include the giving up of control of one to the other. Negotiations need to be the first thing done before jumping into this sort of arrangement. For some dominants and slaves, this process will begin with the initial interview of what each side wants and what they don't want. This should be a long discussion and include as many different ideas and potential situations as possible. In fact, you might want to use this book as a basic guideline of, do you want to do this or not? By going through lists of things that you can do in the BDSM realm, you will be able to clarify everyone's desires in order to be happy. And that's really the point. A master or mistress that is not able to do the things that they find arousing or gratifying is not going to feel satisfied with their relationship, nor is a slave that doesn't feel like they are being controlled as much as they would like to be. Many dominants and slaves will do several things in the process of negotiations. Make lists of their desires, create lists of their fantasies, make questionnaires for each other as to what they expect, talk about probable scenes, discuss absolute limits, as well as things that might be frightening, but not totally prohibited, and create a contract that both will sign and adhere to. In this kind of a relationship that places psychological control as well as physical control on the proverbial table, negotiations are not negotiable. You need to talk before you can play. Setting up a contract. The idea of a contract is something that everyone understands, so creating this kind of formal document can go a long way in establishing the kind of relationship both parties want and limits to things that will occur. This contract can include several things, such as a list of rules for the slave, a list of activities that are permissible, a schedule for the slave to follow, a list of responsibilities for the master or mistress, guidelines for personal grooming, and guidelines for personal health habits. For some, the formality of a contract makes the agreement between a slave and master more real and binding. But the contract can also be a general agreement for the slave to submit to their master as well. What you include in the contract is up to you, but it should be a clear representation of the relationship and how you will interact with each other, both in the bedroom and outside of the bedroom. A contract allows the slave to have a clear understanding of the things that will be expected of him or her, and something to refer to should they become confused as to what their duties are. This contract can also be renewed at regular intervals or be amended as new restrictions and conditions are discussed and agreed upon. It can also be posted in a clear view or kept in a special place for both parties to review regularly. This contract should be taken seriously at all times. A sample contract. Of course, sometimes it's easier to create your own contract if you have an idea of what someone else's looks like. You can change the terms and the phrasing, but your contract should read something like this. I, John, do willfully submit to Jane with an open mind and an open heart. I wish to please my master or mistress and promise to do my best to submit to them with each breath that I take. I offer up the use of my skills, my dedication, my obedience, and my time so that his or her wishes can be granted completely and immediately as commanded. I respectfully request that my master or mistress guides me to their goals for me as a slave and helps me to understand the importance of my servitude so that I might grow as a person. I willfully give over my body, my mind, my desires, and my decisions to my master or mistress so that I might be fully available for their needs, no matter what he or she should command. I promise to always put my master or mistress's needs before my own, obey all commands as given with grace and speed, be honest, strive to overcome any feelings of inhibition or hesitation, be open about my thoughts and feelings, talk about my needs, but defer to the judgment of my master or mistress. Work to be the best slave that I can be. learn more about my own feelings of slavery and how I can best serve, work on any negative feelings of ego and pride, surrender myself to my master or mistress, and hope to satisfy them each day. I am fully aware of the scenes and tasks that I am required to do, and will perform them with pleasure as this serves my master or mistress. If I should ever feel that my needs are not being met, or that our relationship has changed to no longer serve either of us, we shall respectfully terminate this contract and go our separate ways, knowing that I have been bettered by the experience. Attached is our agreed-upon list of things that I wish to provide for my master or mistress, as well as my limitations at the present time. It is agreed that this list will be the foundation for any playtime as well as service requirements. I offer my submission to Jane on this, the first day of January in the year 2008, with the signature of the slave. I accept this slave into my care on the first day of January in the year of 2008. The importance of a collaring ceremony. To further add weight and gravity to the contract that you have signed and agreed upon, you might also want to include a ceremony in which some sort of collar is placed onto the slave. Much like a typical marriage in which rings are exchanged, the idea of a master or mistress placing a collar on their slave can help to show the rest of the world that this slave is now owned by someone else. In addition, the collaring ceremony can be witnessed by other BDSM friends in order to solidify one's commitment to being in the BDSM lifestyle. There are several benefits to a collaring ceremony. Clear definition of when the relationship begins. Ceremony that changes a relationship from equals to master or mistress and slave can be used in addition to a marriage ceremony to show the power exchange, and gives a slave a physical reminder of their subservience with the actual donning of a collar. The actual collar doesn't have to be something that might be seen by the outside world, though many slaves do not mind this kind of outward signal. Here are some ideas for less noticeable collars. A simple necktie with a small padlock charm, a necktie with initials of the master or mistress inscribed, a traditional ring for the finger, an ankle bracelet or wrist bracelet, or a tattoo. The point of the collaring ceremony is to give over control to someone and seal that act with some sort of physical representation. It not only shows the world that the slave is serious about their decision, but it also shows the master or mistress of this seriousness as well. Master and slave 24/7. What that really means. If you've ever fantasized about being a slave to someone or a master to someone, you probably have an elaborate picture in your head. Lots of sex, lots of submission, and not a care in the world outside of that pleasant BDSM sanctuary. But that isn't always how it works. What you need to understand is that a master and slave relationship is just like any other. There will be great times, and there will be not so great times. Being in a 24/7 relationship is a bit different than just playing with partners or at play parties or personal gatherings. It takes continuous commitment to each other, to learning about each other, and growing towards your common goals. It takes a master that is willing to continuously monitor their slave and make corrections when behaviors are not fitting their standards. It takes a slave that is willing to continuously learn and improve their behaviors to suit a master's wishes. It takes hard work and a clear understanding of what each person's position is. This is why the contract and the initial negotiations can go a long way in heading off any major miscommunications before they hurt a relationship. Much like a prenuptial agreement, a contract allows you to both clearly understand what you need to do and why you are doing it. When you're trying to keep up with the lifestyle every hour of the day, it can be exhausting, but also innately rewarding when done right. If you have the right systems in place and consistent check-ins as to how things are going, you will be able to keep everyone happy. Here is just one example of how a couple does this. A real couple's experience in 24/7 BDSM. For privacy's sake, the names have been changed. John and Jane Doe are just like any other couple on the outside. They are a happy couple that has just retired and are living in a simple and quiet life in a rural area. That's where the normal ends. Behind closed doors, John and Jane have had a BDSM relationship in which Jane is the submissive for the past 15 years. There have been many ups and downs along the way, but they have slowly grown into a pattern of what is expected of each other and how these expectations are satisfied. Here are the things that Jane has to do each day. Ask for permission to go to the bathroom, leave a room, go somewhere outside the home, buy something, etc. Clean the house from floor to ceiling each morning. Prepare all of the meals. Be naked for at least 3 hours of a day, in John's choosing. Sleep naked and chained to the bed. Complete a list of chores each day and let John know when they have been completed. Admit any wrongdoings immediately, and sexually service John whenever commanded to do so. Most days begin with a blowjob and end with multiple orgasms for him. There are other things that she has to do as well, but this is a basic list of how she is controlled during every moment of the day, no matter what she is doing. As for John, he has to come up with a list of chores for Jane to do, make sure the chores are done, administer punishments for things not done, handle financial concerns as well as any requests from Jane, and ask Jane for anything that he might desire. In this relationship, John has determined that the more things that Jane has to ask permission for, the more she feels controlled. When emergencies pop up and she can't get a hold of him to ask, she is allowed to make her own decisions based on previous experiences and their contract, but needs to alert him of these decisions so that he can submit his approval. This relationship works because there are clear guidelines for each person and clear ways that the slave is able to be controlled throughout the day. Here are some simple ways to incorporate constant control and subservience. Have a slave ask for permission to do anything, leave the room, go to the bathroom, speak, etc. Create a schedule of activities each day. Call and check in on the slave at regular intervals. Email the slave throughout the day. And give assignments to the slave, like journal writing. The point is to be a part of every moment of your slave's life so that they can think of nothing else but to serve you. Maintaining your relationship. As with any sort of relationship, you need to remember that maintaining it is the most important part. You need to be able to keep things happy between you and your partner so that the relationship can last for a long period of time. This takes a lot of work on both sides of the equation. From the master, you will need to make sure that you are constantly challenging your slave and causing them to learn more about themselves and their ability to serve you. For the slave, you will need to continuously find new ways to serve your master and provide things to them within their desires and needs. To help keep the dominance and submission alive and kicking, you'll want to do the following. Have a set of clear rules that the slave needs to follow. Be consistent about punishments. Failing to keep up training that you have started will lead a slave that is weaker in their service. Find new ways to challenge your slave. If you find that your slave is lacking in some area of service, strategize ways to increase their abilities. Praise a slave that is doing well. Nothing works better for a slave's training than to hear that they are on the right track with their training from their master. It fills them with pride and causes them to want to continue to do better. Try a new scene idea on a regular basis. This will take some brainstorming by the master, but that's not such a bad thing. Interact with other BDSM couples to add variety to your ideas, as well as the ways that a slave can serve someone. Head to BDSM conferences or gatherings, classes or lunches. This will help you to continue to be inspired by other dominants and what they do, as well as how other slaves act with their masters. In every relationship, it is easy to become stale and boring. But when you constantly try to learn about ways that you can bring dominance and submission into your life, you will be able to try new angles, new activities, and new things that will continuously improve your relationship with each other. Sharing your slave with someone else. One of many ways that you can maintain a dominance and submission relationship, as well as test the servitude of your slave, is to try sharing your slave with someone else. This will, of course, need to be something that the slave has agreed to do beforehand. In this kind of situation, the slave will be serving their master or mistress by doing whatever someone else wants them to do, because their master wants them to do so. It should be seen as an opportunity for the slave to show their devotion as well as their obedience. Masters share their slaves in order to show off the training they have achieved, so a slave should feel as though they are being complimented in this kind of play. However, as a master, you cannot simply share your slave with anyone, even if this is a shared fantasy. You are still in charge of protecting your slave and keeping them safe, so there should be some ground rules that are followed. The master or mistress knows the new person that will handle the slave and trusts them. The new dominant must adhere to the same limits. Any new rules that are to be followed must be discussed beforehand. Safety should always be the first priority, and the master should be able to watch over the events as they are happening or be in the near vicinity should something go wrong. Sharing one's slave can be an enlightening experience as well, for some slaves shed more inhibitions when they are with someone that they are unfamiliar with, especially when it pleases their master. Adding a new person into your relationship can also take on a more permanent role, as with some BDSM couples, they find that the polygamy lifestyle is something that suits them. This is a situation in which the partners of one relationship are able to play with others, though they will have a primary partner that they defer to. And in other cases, these partners might even live together in the same household, much like a polygamous marriage. Ending a relationship that has gone bad. Just as with any fairy tale, sometimes your dominance and submission relationship can start out beautifully. You're both getting what you need from the interaction, you're serving or doming and having a great time, you genuinely like each other and you're communicating openly about what you want and don't want. Things are good. But as with so many marriages and other serious relationships, there are times when things aren't going well and they aren't going to work out. These are times when you need to sit down and evaluate if the relationship is something that's going to work out in the future, and if it's something that you're willing to work on, or if you want to go your separate ways. Just because you're in a dominance and submission relationship does not mean that you cannot walk away. Both sides still have that choice. You might find that you want to do more than your partner wants to do, or that you're just not interested in doing dominance and submission anymore. And in those kinds of cases, you need to either reevaluate what you want from each other, agreeing on a new contract and set of rules, or you need to find another partner that will. Some signs that you should end your relationship. Limits and boundaries are crossed. Things aren't being discussed anymore. One person or both are lying. Or the relationship is not a priority, or the dominance and submission part is not a priority. In truth, you can name plenty of reasons why you might want to end your relationship. Sometimes things just don't work out. If you're willing to change things so that your relationship works better, then you might have a chance. But if you're just not seeing a solution, it's best to part. In doing so, there are some things that you will want to do. Keep the details of your relationship confidential. You would want the same from the other. Return any gifts or collars, toys, or personal items that are not sanitary for someone else to use, and learn from the experience. Saying goodbye is never easy, especially when there is a power exchange that is familiar to the both of you, but when it begins to become detrimental to your health or your well-being, sometimes it's for the best. The role of the slave that wants to leave. If you are considering leaving the service of your master, whether for personal reasons or for relationship issues, there are some things that you will want to keep in mind specifically. Find out what you could have done better, communicated more, served more devotedly, etc. Thank the master or mistress for the training you did receive. Always speak highly of your past dominance unless they were abusive and could be unsafe for someone else to be with. Remember that grace is the key to being a good slave. Leave gracefully and willfully, knowing that you have done all that you could to be the best slave that you could be. And know the specific reasons that you are leaving. The main lesson that any slave should take from a previous relationship is that they have done the best that they could, but that the certain master or mistress may not have been able to satisfy their desires and needs. A slave assignment for the end of this chapter. After this section, it should be clear to you that you need to be clear. Being in a dominance and submission relationship is about more than playtime and creating a good scene. It's about creating open dialogue in which you can both relay your needs and then figure out ways to make sure that you are satisfying each other. You'll want to draw up a contract with your master or mistress or with yourself in order to start getting a more structured mindset of what being a slave is and what it means to you. If you are not owned or dominated at the present time, simply create a contract as though you were, promising your devotion to learning as much as you can so that you can be the best slave for your future relationships. This is the end of Chapter 10.